Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. You know, signs in the scripture are really important. I thought we ought to focus a little attention on them today. Let's get started. John 4:54 says, "This, again, is the second sign that Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee." Okay, the second sign. A nobleman came to Jesus from another town and begged him to heal his son. In response, Christ spoke the word for healing. Well, the next day, the nobleman got the news of the results and asked when it happened. Verse 55 says, "So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, 'Your son lives,' and he himself believed, and his whole household." You know, signs have been a part of God's communication with man for a long time. The scriptures tell us all the way back in Genesis 1:14, "Then God said, 'Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years,' which was poignantly fulfilled with the wise men and Christ." You remember the story? In Matthew 2:2, it says, "Where is he who has been born and king of the Jews?" they said. "For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And the rainbow in the sky. After the Noahic flood, God called it a sign. The circumcision of Abraham and all his descendants was termed a sign. The virgin birth of Jesus was called a sign. It just keeps going on and on. Fundamentally, signs give us direction, warning, or important information. And to the Jews, signs have been especially valuable. 1 Corinthians 1:22 says, "For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom." Ironically, despite all the miraculous healings and deliverances Christ performed, many Jews simply didn't notice. John 2, verse 18 says, "So the Jews answered and said to him, 'What sign do you show us, since you do all these things?'" It doesn't even seem logical, does it? We started with the Lord's second sign above. His first sign, though, was not a healing, but a different kind of blessing. And he said to them, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This is all in John 2. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed him. Do you see a little pattern there? Signs from Jesus were supposed to bring belief, and it did here with the disciples. As you may notice, some signs are given for two individuals, others for specific groups, and yet others for large groups or even generations. In fact, in Luke 11, Jesus says, "And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet.'" You remember that story? Swallowed by a big fish, puked up on the beach 3 days later. And we should note that all signs given by God are intended to generate trust in him. John 20, verse 30 and 31 reads, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." But the great deceiver, Satan, through his Antichrist, will use signs to turn people away from God and toward himself. Revelation 13 says he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs, which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and livid. And in Revelation 19 we read, then the beast, the Antichrist, was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Interesting, huh? God's signs are intended to breed trust in God. The Antichrist signs are intended to deceive those who worship his image. Just the opposite. So God wants us to be alert to his signs and to discard the signs of the evil one. God's signs intended for us to nurture trust in him. For the ungodly, they are warnings of impending doom that are, sad to say, rejected in the last days. Revelation 9 says, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. So, friends, open your eyes, the eyes of your inner being, and take heed to God's signs, personally and in the greater context. You see, the signs of the times are all around us.
Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm, and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.